Welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast, where you'll learn how to structure terms and use various creative financing strategies to create profitable deals for short and long-term wealth. Whether you're a buy and hold investor, wholesaler, or flipper, learning creative financing will help you do more deals and unlock profits that you may not even know existed. On the Creative Financing Podcast, we break down actual deals we and our guests are doing and simplify the methods and terms used to execute these strategies. Now, let's dive in and create some terms.
Hello and welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Gallegos, here with
Jeff Rappaport.
And today, guys, we are talking about the term. What's too short? What's too long? How long? You know, it depends on your exit strategy, of course, but what's too long? What's too short? And what should you aim for with your different offers? So Jeff, you mentioned that, you know, you see a lot of people talk about term, and really it's very much, it's subjective, right? According to your exit strategy. But you wanted to talk about term because people kind of get hung up on this, you know, is a 2-year term too short if you're trying to hold it as a rental and you need to refinance at the end of that? Or, you know, what you mentioned is market cycle. And do you want to hold past a market cycle or what, right?
Well, the first thing is we're not going to be able to predict the market cycle, right? So,
right.
I mean, we're doing this podcast in the beginning of June 2021. I think if you have interviewed a whole bunch of investors over the last 2-3 years, they would have thought that there would have been a correction and or a crash by now. And even last night, I listened to a YouTube video talking about the market. And now they're talking that there will be, they like to call it a dip, because they're not sure if it's a crash or correction. And they're now predicting it to be third quarter of 2022. And so we've already gone well past what normally is our cycle, right? Where, you know, things are up and now they've got to come back down. And so trying to predict the market is literally impossible.
Yeah, they say a typical real estate market's 10 years, right?
So before this whole situation, I think people were pretty set on 8 years. And Now I think it's been expanded to, within every 10 years, there's a cycle where it's going to either go up or it's going to come back down. But we've had some extenuating circumstances, you know, over the last 12 to 15, 16 months with
our
pandemic. But I think that trying to plan for that is always going to be difficult, right? So I thought what we would do is just have a discussion about thoughts on length of term. And it's always better. Let's be clear. It's always better. It's always got, you always have more flexibility with a longer term. However, longer terms may not get you the deal, right? There's certainly people out there, sellers out there, that would consider creative financing, but hey, they will only do it for 2 years or 3 years, and that's their max. And if you can present an offer that will fit with that, then yeah, you'll probably get the deal, as opposed to, hey, you know, I'll only do 7 years or 10 years or more, and you will lose out on a lot of the deals that way.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, the longer you hold it, the more exit strategy possibilities you have.
Sure. More flexibility, right? So, and then you can also try to determine when is the best time for you to either refinance the property or sell the property. And that's nice, having that flexibility, because hey, if you had owner finance and you had a 5-year note, you know, 5 years ago, and you're now, your notes now due. Well, you're pretty happy, right? The market's most likely at an all-time high, and interest rates are pretty close to all-time lows. It's like you got all kinds of options. That may not be the case in the future, right? Interest rates may be significantly higher, and who knows, prices may have come down.
Yep, that's right. Yeah, and it's, there's just no one that can really predict it, like you said. So, well, what do you do then, Jeff?
All right, so first thing is you've got to determine, is this a property for you, or is this a property that you're wholesaling for someone else? And so what I like to do is, if my buyer, so if I'm going to wholesale a property, if my buyer is going to be an owner occupant, I like to give them 3 years. And there's nothing magical about 3 years, but basically any credit challenge that they need to overcome can be overcome if they're working on it. They can overcome it in 3 years. Does that mean they will? No, not necessarily, but I don't want to put people in a position to fail. I want to put them in a position to succeed. And one of the things that I would do is, if someone's credit challenged, they have a 3-year balloon, is, hey, I'm going to put them in touch with a mortgage broker. And that mortgage broker is going to identify what needs to happen over the next 2 to 3 years to help them refinance this property. Now, right. I'm not as concerned about, hey, where's the market going to be in 3 years on this type of property? Because I'm out of it.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. But the goal would be is, hey, I'm getting you into a property with reasonably good terms. There's going to be some principal pay down over that time, and there's potentially some appreciation. And I want to put them in a situation that would make sense. So to me, right off the bat, if you have a seller that will only accept really short terms, and when I say really short, to me is, I like to be at that 3-year. I might consider a 2-year, depending on the property and, you know, the other terms that I'm able to work out. But I'm going to almost always wholesale those, right? And to me, that's like, hey, that's one of the things that's going to help me determine my exit strategy. So we had just talked about making multiple offers. And when we make multiple offers, that we may have different exit strategies depending on which offer is taken. So, hey, if you take my 3-year or my 2-year term offer, then most likely we're just going to wholesale it. And now maybe we're going to make more of a 5-year, 6-year, 7-10 year term. That might be something, hey, maybe this makes more sense to hold, or stay in the middle of as the note holder, the bank, rather than the first option. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
So if you are now, the exit strategy is for you to buy, so now you want to be a little more careful, but do this. Figure out what would be enough principal pay down that will put you in a good position if you have a short-term note. So if you've got a 3-year note, where do you feel comfortable being? And we've talked about this numerous times, right? That our goal is to try to create, you know, at least 20% equity, including, you know, more like a 10% down payment and a 10% principal pay down. That way, yep. And if you're concerned that the market may shift a bit, then try to get yourself even a little bit lower, maybe to 75% loan to value. That way you've got a little cushion.
Yeah.
We can't predict everything, right?
But right.
So one of the other things that I would add is, Let's say the longest a seller will go is 5 years.
Yeah.
That's it, right? Yeah, you try to get any more out of it, it's no deal. And you want to hold this property, but you're concerned, right? That, hey, that we're probably toward the end of this market cycle, and the market could change in a year or two. And then, you know, well, where are you going to be when it comes time to refinance? Well, one of the things that I might do in that case is I'll tell the seller, look, I'll give you a 5-year term and we'll work toward getting the property paid off within that 5 years. But one of my concerns is the market cycle, right? And, you know, if the market changes, you know, we don't have a lot of choices. You know, I won't be able to refinance. I'd have to bring more money to the table, and it might be a significant more amount of money. I could give the property back to you, but you know, if that's the case, then, hey, the value of that property is probably not going to be what it is right now. So we both have a problem. So, well, what if we come up with like a compromise where I can extend this term if, you know, and there doesn't have to be an if, but you could put, hey, if the market comes down and the value is negatively affected, or the property is not worth at least this much by that time frame, then I have the right to extend my term either for nothing or I will give an incentive, right? So I might say, hey, I'll give you $5,000 principal, or $5,000 interest, whatever the case may be, just to have that flexibility. And if I'm offering interest, then I'm probably saying I want a 2-3 year extension. If I'm doing principal, it might be a little bit shorter. Or I might have a series of extensions, right? So
yeah,
maybe I can extend for 1 year for $5,000. I could extend the next year for $6,000. That's something like that, that the seller feels like, hey, you know, it's really based on a 5-year term, but there's I don't want the property back. I want you to buy it. And we have some safeguards in to make sure that that's going to occur.
So you have some extension clauses in there, is what I would call them. So that in the event, and one thing that comes to my mind is, like, as an example, if you bought a house, say, you know, 2005, right? And you bought it on terms for a 3-year term, and then 08 rolls around, you hit the subprime crash, you know, the subprime mortgage crash, right? And then, you know, what you bought in 2005 was worth, say, $100,000, and now it's worth $75,000 because of the crash, and everything's been, you know, the market was flooded with a ton of foreclosures, right? So it would just bring down the values. So in a situation like that, where, you know, you actually entered the crash, right, or the downturn, what you're saying is you want that option to extend, because, you know, you certainly couldn't refinance the property in that situation. And so your options are, you give it back to the seller, right?
And now the seller has a problem too, right?
Yeah. So now they have a negative equity. Yeah. And they probably still don't want the property. So if, you know, even if you didn't have this clause built in to your terms to begin with, you could always go back to the seller and ask for that option.
Yeah. So to me, there's two different ways that you do this. One is up front when you're putting together your initial purchase and sale agreement or your initial LOI, and you're mapping that out. But there's also, this is one of the reasons why creative financing is so good. It's that flexibility. You're not dealing with a bank, you're dealing with an individual. And, you know, are you taking some risks? Yeah, I mean, Yeah, the seller can say absolutely not. I don't want an extension. However, if you explain it and you give value to the seller, you make the seller understand that, hey, this is really a win-win situation rather than, hey, I'm taking advantage and you're getting the short end of the stick, per se.
Yeah.
That most of the time, they're going to be flexible or they're going to at least be open to some discussion, right? So maybe you have to give them a chunk of money or something to make this work, but the flexibility is potentially there.
Yeah. Yeah. So we talked about, if you're wholesaling it to an owner occupant, you want a minimum of 3 years. If you plan on keeping the property and it's still on a shorter term, such as, 3 years, to put that extension in, or that extension clause, I should say, into the contract so that you have those options. Obviously too long might be 10 years for a seller, but what do you like to shoot for on your longer term, Jeff?
So I think it always comes down to the discussion that you've had with the seller, and if you dove deep enough to get an idea where the seller is and what the seller would potentially accept. Otherwise, you're just guessing. And most likely when you're guessing, you are working from your point of view, not the seller's. And the goal is, I have nothing until I get an acceptance, right? So we've got to make sure that we're trying to structure something that's still going to work for the seller. And so if I'm looking at acquiring all these properties that I make offers on, I might be coming in with 10-year terms, 15, 20, maybe even longer than that. Well, that's not going to fit everyone's, that's not going to be a good fit for every seller's potential situation.
Yeah.
So the more you can find out up front, the better. And, so what we do is we have an added question or two. And the question would be is, all right, you're open to terms. We've asked you about the down payment. We assume that you would take little to no money down. That's how we do most of our deals anyway. It's either a yes or no question, a yes or no answer. If it's no, then okay, how much do you need as far as a down payment? Is that really the best you can do? Can you take any less? Are you flexible on that? That kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then diving a little deeper on the term would be is how long are you open to, continuing to get a monthly cash flow or making money on your equity? And, understanding what their long-term plan is may give you an opportunity to explain that, hey, maybe this is the better way to go. Maybe you could, if they're older. Well, I think there is this myth that since they're older, they all want their money sooner. Right. In their mind, they may, but if the goal really is look, I don't need the money. I'm leaving the money to, my heirs. Let me ask you, Mr. Seller, would you like your heirs to just get a big lump sum and have the responsibility of being disciplined to, make that money last? Or would it be better maybe that, hey, every single month they get cash flow and they get to spread this money out for years? And that may make way more sense for, giving this money to their heirs. So getting that information up front is the crucial part. If you don't get that information up front, this is what I do is that I'm going to say the shorter the term, the better, right? Because most of the sellers are, if they're on the fence, if they don't have to leave their money tied up for as long, that they might be open to terms. So I do a lot of 3-year, 5-year kind of things, 3-year, 6-year kind of terms. And when I don't have all that information, and if there's something that where, you know, maybe it's a pre-foreclosure, something where they're behind on payments. Now I kind of dictate the terms, right? It's now I'm the solution. You know, this is what I have to offer. And now I'm probably going to leave it more open. Like, hey, you know, I might need 10 or 15 years or, you know, the length of the loan to get this resolved. And, you know, the loan will be out of your name when I'm either able to sell the property and get it cashed out, or I decide to refinance it. And that may be, you know, 6 months or a year down the road, or maybe 10 years down the road.
Yeah. And I mean, you gotta, at that point, just work with the seller on those terms. But have you held anything long-term, Jeff?
Oh yeah.
What's the longest term you've held?
You know, back pre-crash, I had lots of deals. They were almost all subject to deals, and there were no balloons. So they all were, you know, 10 plus years into the future. And I had lease option tenants in most of the houses, and almost all of them, actually all of them, were way past, I mean, 6, 7, 8 years past their option period.
Wow.
And yeah, on occasion I would have people come to me and say, all right, I want to buy. Well, you know, the market had gone up significantly, and I would just tell them, no problem. We just got to sit down and figure out a new price. And they're like, wait, what? I'm like, well, your option expired 8 years ago. And I'm still giving you the opportunity to buy, but the value of the house has gone up. And so that's how I ran it before. I didn't really care if people bought, because, you know, they were rentals that I just didn't have to worry about.
Yeah.
And, but now if you do have a balloon, you know, now you want to plan for it. And
yeah,
that would be, you know, I have another one right now that, you know, we've been in probably for 4 years, maybe even 5 years, and they had a term of 3 years to refinance. And I bet this property has gone up $100,000, maybe more, since we did this. Well, their term is up. Now, am I in any rush? I mean, I'm making over $600 a month cash flow, and I'm getting pretty good principal pay down. Am I in any rush to push them to go get a new loan? Not really. No. But when they tell me they're ready to, we're going to have to renegotiate this, because, you know, their term's up.
Yeah. Yep. And they didn't exercise their option.
And I have as long as I need, right? Even though, and I'm, let me give everyone a warning that I know everyone wants the length of the loan. That's not always the best, especially when your seller was in distress, because they really have this short-term memory, and they want this loan out of their name. They want to qualify for a new property. And I know what all the information that's out there about being able to qualify. In my 20 years experience, the way that people qualify for a new loan when they have an existing loan in their name and it affects their debt to income ratio is they need a minimum of 6 months seasoning, preferably 12 months of seasoning. It would not hurt that they have filed taxes showing that it's a sale of their property. And this might be the most important part, not all lenders or mortgage brokers will understand how to get, you know, show that the previous loan is being taken care of by someone else. So that they literally can take that loan off the seller's debt to income ratio. So
really what, I mean, most lenders just look for the tax, look for their last tax file, right? To see
if it is the key to it is to find a lender or mortgage broker that understands.
Yeah. And that's hard right there.
It is hard, but they're out there. And I know there's talk about being able to give certain documentation, and to be honest, if that's true, that by all means, that's a great way to go. But that's not been my experience. My experience is that you got to do a little searching for the, you know, just like escrow officers aren't all the same, just like lenders don't make all the same kinds of loans.
Right.
There are lenders that, you know, I can still find a title company throughout the country that'll do a simultaneous closing. Those were outlawed like 10 years ago. And but it still exists every once in a while. And so it's about finding the right connections.
Yeah, the right person to do it. And you really just have to go down the line if you're in that situation. But
let me make one other point really quick, Jonathan, then we'll wrap this up, is that so we've talked about more of the shorter term to midterm to longer term, but really I don't even count 3 years or even 2 years as the short term, 2 years maybe, but we still have our, you know, our wholesale or our retail or our rehab type offers where we are going in with a short term, right? So, you know, 6 months, 9 months, a year, you know, whatever we need where we can either get it sold or turn around and increase the value. Again, you know, a lot of banks are going to look at seasoning, you know, that they want to see that you've owned it for a while and that numbers are consistently where you're claiming they are. So again, if I was buying like a rental property that had some low rents, low occupancy, deferred maintenance, stuff like that, that I wanted to buy, turn around and then refinance, you know, BRRRR strategy kind of thing, that I'd probably want to give myself 12 to 18 months, because my guess is I'm going to need that 12 months for the lender. And then I need a few months, you know, just a padding, right? So to make sure that I'm not, you know, a month too little. And
yeah. So,
and again, you know, I could do like, hey, I need 12 months, but if I run into any issues with the lender, I need to be able to extend it for up to, let's say, 6 months. And in return, I'll give you a $5,000 principal only payment.
Yeah. So guys, if you think that, hey, I can get this done in six, give yourself 9 months. If you think that you can refinance in a year, give yourself 18 months. Always give yourself a little cushion there. I think about
that extension. So that,
have that ask for that extension, have that clause in there so that you can go back to the seller and say, hey, I need a little more time. What comes to mind, and from my own personal experience, you know, I bought a flip from you, Jeff. It was a contract for deed. It was a seven month term. Yep. Well, I went to the end of that 7 months, and then it still took me an additional 3 months, and I had to bring in hard money, which ate up some of my profits.
Yeah. And the seller knew the situation that you were in and was not willing to negotiate, right?
Right. So. Yep. Yeah. I went back to the seller, said, hey, I need a little more time. You know, I can give you more money. And he didn't want to go for it.
The reason he didn't want to go for it is because he now knew that you increased the value significantly and he did not have to.
Yeah, that's right. So, if you think you need 6 months, ask for nine and put that extension clause in there. And I would say if you're trying to get a loan, ask for, you know, give yourself a 6 month cushion, not a 3 month cushion, because, you know, loans are tough and there's different lenders out there that work different ways. And so you might just have to do a lot of shopping, and your standard loan takes 30 days to 45 days to close anyway.
I would agree. And but I do believe that, you know, that maybe we just need to do another episode of, hey, what happens if, you know, the seller will only give you a 2-year term, and, you know, 2 years is on the very short side, but that's all they're willing to do. And, you know, should you do it? Should you not? Do you stay away from it? And then it's probably going to become more of a business model decision. You know, for the most part, I won't do a 2-year term. However, every situation's a little different, and you know, I would do a 2-year term with an option to extend. I would do that all day long. So it's the way that you're going to look at it, right? And how are you going to protect yourself, and or how are you going to protect your buyer? And so to me, it's like, hey, at the end of 3 years, but what if you don't fix your credit?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but hey, that I gave you enough time to, you knew up front what the situation was. I gave you enough time to do it. You just chose not to. And, you know, unfortunately, that's no longer my problem. And I don't want people to think that I'm ruthless that way, but, you know, not everything falls back on me.
Yep.
Some people do have to take accountability
for their own actions. Right. Yeah. So, okay, we'll wrap it up there then. Guys, you can reach us at, on Facebook, the Creative Financing Podcast. Join our Facebook group there. We're still growing that. If you guys are interested in getting special access to a step-by-step video to teach you how to create terms on properties that Jeff put together from start to finish, just text CFP or Creative Financing to 877-409-8090. And if you guys are interested in the Creative Financing Academy, you can hit us up there as well. If you guys are interested in Jeff's apprenticeship program, which he does nationwide, it's a wholesaling based program. Please email Rebecca, and that's rebecca@weofferoptions.com. Any last words, Jeff?
Join our Facebook group, our Creative Financing Podcast Facebook group. I think what we're going to do is I'm going to post some things in there, questions, so we can start using your questions and things that you want to hear us talk about. Plus, I think I'm going to bring some of our members on the podcast, either to look at their deals or to answer, you know, their questions. We come up with questions based on what we think you want to know, or what we're hearing through different forums, but I'd much rather hear it directly from you. And certainly stay tuned to our next series of episodes, because it'll be very similar to that video that you get for free, and very similar to our new Academy. So
cool.
I think that'll be fun.
Awesome. Okay, guys, till next time, go out there and create some terms.
Thanks for listening to the Creative Financing Podcast. We need your feedback to continue to bring you the best strategies in creative financing. So please subscribe, rate, and review the show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. We greatly appreciate your ear, and please pass this on. Until next time, create some terms. This show offers general information on creative financing strategies and real estate investments. Nothing contained herein should be considered personal, legal, or financial advice. Every state has individual laws governing the use and type of documents used to execute strategies discussed herein. You should consult with a local licensed real estate broker and attorney before relying on any information contained herein. Information is not guaranteed, and opinions of the guests are their own. Profits are not guaranteed, and there's always inherent risk in real estate investing.